Good morning. This is Syl Stein from the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM. I apologize that I didn't do a show yesterday. It's been a lot tougher than I thought, folks. I thought being at home, I could do more, and I actually do less because I have other responsibilities with kids in the house, a dog, so many things going on. And so I apologize for that. But today we're going to go dive right back into the writing prompt for week 29. And then we're going to move on to something new today for the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. I am drinking my Dunkin' Donut coffee. We're still waiting for Black Rifle coffee to arrive. The medium roast that we've ordered. But Dunkin' Donuts is what I'm having today. The Black Rifle coffee, if you've not tasted it, is delicious. Medium roast, delicious. And I'll tell you more about that on the wrap-up of the show. But for today, I'm going to dive right into the writing prompt for week 29 using the book by author Amy Peters. The writer's devotional, 365 inspirational exercises, ideas, tips, and motivations on writing. And we'll be right back. Happy, happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your coffee. And that's what I'm enjoying today. And I'm sorry again about not being able to do a show yesterday, but I'm going to do one today, tomorrow, and hopefully Saturday. And then next week, try to do the whole week, or at least try. But it's a lot harder than it seems. And then I'm working on new things. A new jingle. I'm going to write more of my script for my show. I make notes of it, but kind of get into more full scripts and kind of diving into different things that I can do for the podcast. And that way you all can enjoy it as well, and as well as enjoying books and all of that. Yeah, let me go ahead and now share my writing prompt. I decided to do it on the Chris Watts case. So, this is what I wrote. And this is a case that happened. Let's see. Between him and his wife, Shanann. And basically, this is like, it baffles people because. They seemed like a really good couple. It seemed like everything was going well. She had two little girls, and then she was about to have another baby, and then he just lost it, I guess. And this is just so hard to understand. So this is what I wrote. I didn't write very long, but for the writing prompt. He seemed like a nice neighbor. Who would have ever believed that he was really a murderer? And I put myself into like a neighbor from that neighborhood. I had always seen Shanann and her husband Chris with their two daughters looking like the picture perfect family. I never knew what was lying beneath the surface. Shanann would post regularly about them and about her health journey and different things that she would do, and they seemed like they had it all. Unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. Chris was hiding something. Chris committed something, and he destroyed his family. And that's basically what I wrote. And it's just a short little excerpt that I shared because I've been working on my thriller. And I just wanted to kind of share a little bit, not to take away from them, because this is a very sad case. But I took something from the news, and apparently this, you know, I decided to write or write an excerpt, just a short little writing prompt, which is really not much writing, but I just kind of shared a little bit of that on the writing prompt. And you could write about anything. You know, like it said, you could write about fantasy stuff like la Harry Potter, or something else that you want to share. Like for me, I'm working on my book, Battered Mind. I could have possibly shared something about that, except I don't have it prepared. I kind of just doodled about a little writing prompt on this, so I started with that. So, but if you want to share your own excerpt, you can go ahead and do that. I did give the example of Alice Sebold, the best-selling author from who wrote The Lovely Bones. You want to, you know, or any other book that Stephen King has, a lot of them, or your own work. Make sure to submit a writing prompt, or just, you know, if you want to work on that to get you started on your own writing, you could do that too. There's also Leanne Moriarty, who wrote Big Little Lies. I read the book, then I saw the show. You could maybe make a comparison of the scenes from that with your writing prompt. From the book, the series that was made by David E. Kelly with her approval. But as you notice, the book is very different from the show, because in the book it's based in, you know, the scenery. You got to kind of read the books and then you watch the show. There's a lot of differences. Characters, they maybe weren't as important in the book, are more, you know, you see them more in the series. And that's on HBO, HBO Max. You can watch Big Little Lies. You could also download it through Amazon and stuff. But I have HBO Max, so that's where I watch the show. And it had 2 seasons. It was amazing. And like I said, check out Leanne Moriarty's books, Big Little Lies. She has so many, but especially Big Little Lies. Second season, she wrote a special story for that, so it could continue, and it has Meryl Streep in the second season, and you have to just watch it, and it's amazing. But anyway, I'm getting off track now. But so I hope that you enjoyed that writing prompt that I shared with you guys for Sunday, which was week 29 writing prompt. He seemed like a nice neighbor. Who would have ever believed that he was really? And then you just go from there. And I hope that you enjoyed a little bit of what I shared. It wasn't a lot, but I wanted to kind of go back and share that with you guys. So now I'm going to go into a new week. And then next week, I'm going to start a new book that we're going to talk about for writing. I do love the Amy Peters book, don't get me wrong, but I want to share different types of books. I'm also going to share reading about with my books. I'm going to share a little bit of my books in my author news. I'm going to share a little excerpt from Closure. And I'm going to tell you my new author news of what I've been working on and the different things that are going to happen also. So happy Thursday. We'll be right back. And I'm going to continue and start on the new week with a book by Amy Peters. And I hope you enjoyed this segment of the Daily with Solstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. I hope you're enjoying your coffee. Happy Thursday. We'll be back. And now we're back to the Daily with Solstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And now we're going to do another week. We're going to go to week. Let's see here. We're going to start with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I will tell you about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but we're not really going to cover that. So I'm going to start with week 48, Monday, Writers on Writing. Okay. And it says, a story isn't about a moment in time. A story is about the moment A story isn't about a moment in time. A story is about the moment in time. This is by author W.D. Wetherill. American author W.D. Wetherill captures the essence of good writing in this one profound quote. A skilled writer distills for her reader the heart and core of a given moment in time. Any writer can research and write about the Vietnam War and the sweeping effects felt across America during those turbulent years. A good writer, says Wetherill, will define the story, making it the moment in time that everyone remembers. David Halberstam captured the moment in Vietnam with his award-winning 1972 account of the devastating effects of that war. Based on more than 500 interviews, the best and the brightest captured the moment of the Vietnam War. A writer does this by asking and answering questions for the reader. Why does this story matter? What impact did it have at the time? And how does it continue to resonate? What about this moment in time makes the story universal to our readers? These are not easy questions to answer, which explains one of the divides between ho-hum writing and terrific historical writing. As Wetherill explains, a good writer is able to answer the questions and to make the answers valuable to every reader. So that's very important, especially when you write anything historical, anything that happened throughout our lives. You got to be very careful, and that's basically, those are some of the things that they recommend for writers on writing for Monday. So I hope that you'll check out W.D. Wetherill and his stance on making an impact on the story. And we'll be back with Tuesday Motivation. Now we're back with Tuesday Motivation. This is the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. And we're using the book, The Writer's Devotional, 365 Inspirational Exercises, Ideas, Tips, and Motivations on Writing by author Amy Peters. It says, sorry, let me put this computer down because it has so many notifications. You can hear them in the background. And I'm enjoying my Dunkin' Donut coffee with my waitress mug that I got. Interesting thing about the waitress mug. I got it in February of 2020. This was before they shut down. They shut us down in March of 2020. My husband took me to see the musical Waitress, and it was phenomenal. I will never forget it. It was a big surprise, and it was already coming to an end, and he found tickets and surprised me, and it was during the week, and we went, and it was just amazing. I think it was like a Thursday evening. We drove all the way to Wilmington, had dinner, saw the musical, then it downpoured rain, and it was just wonderful. It was one of the last musicals I saw at the time, and just so grateful for that moment. And even though later we've been dealing with a pandemic, and then we're reopening now and all of that, but it was very nice to have that memory. And it popped up today in my memories on Facebook and all of that, and I'm drinking from my cup now. And if you're not familiar with Waitress, this was based off a movie that was made back in 1997. And Adrienne Shelley was the writer, director. She was an actress, but she became a writer, director, producer for this movie with Kerry Russell. It had Kerry Russell, the late Andy Griffith. It had Cheryl Hines. It had Jeremy Sisto. It had a bunch of really interesting characters, and she played Dawn, and her husband has kept her legacy alive after she unfortunately tragically got killed. He fought for her legacy, and her legacy has been kept alive by the musical that was created by the talented Sarah Bareilles. I think it was in 2015 she started, and all the musical producers and stuff, they worked on getting this play to Broadway, and it's been amazing. It was such a success, and she could only, and I'm sure she, from up there in heaven, because I believe, you know, our loved ones and, you know, are up there watching us, I believe that she can see how successful it's been, and I'm so grateful that her husband kept her legacy alive and also helps other women filmmakers and left a legacy so her daughter can, you know, remember her mother, which I'm sure she does, but like, you know, she had a young daughter at the, you know, that she left behind, and a grieving husband, a grieving daughter, and her mom and her family. And not to take away from that, but I just wanted to say that thank you, Adrienne Shelley, for creating such a great movie about a woman who is, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, you have to check out Jenna and her story, and then, you know, check out the musical if you love musicals. But thank you again for creating this wonderful masterpiece, and I hope you know that you made such a amazing change in this world, and I had to say that. So we'll be right back, and then I'll do Tuesday Motivation, because I kind of got off track, but I wanted to say, you know, I wanted to mention that about Waitress, and it's amazing, the amazing talents that it's given us. And I hope you'll check it out and check out the wonderful music. We'll be right back. And we're back to The Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents The Coffee Chronicles. And now we're on week 48, Tuesday Motivation. Okay, I'm going to... Again, and I'll probably do Wednesday also in this segment, writing class, and then I'll do Thursday editing also, and then the wrap-up will be right after this. Here we go. It says, you can't put a limit on anything. The more you dream, the farther you get. I want to be able to look back and say, I've done everything I can, and I was successful. I don't want to look back and say, I should have done this or that. And this is written by Michael Phelps. And Michael Phelps, if you know who he is the Olympian swimmer. And I'm going to read more about that. The 2008 Beijing Olympics attracted 4.7 billion viewers. That's 70% of the Earth's population, making it the most watched television event in history. One reason so many tuned in was to watch U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps shatter Olympic and world records. While Phelps made it look easy, the road to becoming one of the all-time Olympic greats has not always been smooth. He started swimming at the age of five. Soon after, he was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder. He used his time in the pool to release all of his excess energy. At the age of 9, his parents divorced, and Phelps told friends that he escaped to the pool to avoid the tensions at home. His training schedule is no cakewalk either. It includes training for 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. His grueling hours at the pool often preclude time for hanging out with friends and family, although he makes time for his bulldog, Herman. Phelps, 38 world records and 16 Olympic medals, took tremendous effort. He has devoted his life to swimming and to training. For some, being a writer requires the type of discipline evidenced by Phelps. Whether you are writing for yourself or for an audience, to do something well takes effort. And as adage goes, practice makes perfect. And it's true. There's a movie that I saw that's called Authors Anonymous. It's hilarious. It's a comedy. It's kind of like set like kind of like Best in Show, where it's like kind of like a documentary or The Office style or Modern Family. But it's a really good way to look at, you know, group, like when you're in a writing group and who's successful, who's not. But one of the writers in there says, played by Kaylee Cuoco, Hannah, that's her name in the movie. She says to one of the other writers, the writing always comes first. And that's the thing, like with Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps, one of the greats. Now he's married, has children of his own. And but the thing is, he, like I said, he put a lot of effort and time, and through the bumps and the highs and the lows, he never wavered in what he wanted to do, and he kept doing it. And that's what we, you know, as a writer, you know, you got to give it your all, even with his mistakes and all. Everybody's human. But the way is how you're going to bounce back and get things done when you need to. And that's where you got to look at. We got cut off. This is The Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which presents the Coffee Chronicles. I apologize. I got cut off because there was a phone call that came in that was unimportant, but it still cut off the recording. So my apologies. So you really just got to ask yourself, you know, how much time do you want to dedicate to your writing, and you get it done. And that's what I've been trying to get at. Like, what kind of writing? I'm not keeping track of how much writing I'm doing. I'm trying to just put in time to get it done. Time to work, time to write. And we're moving on now to Wednesday writing class. So, let's see here. The writing class says, write a love scene for a romantic comedy. Introduce two characters and show how they would interact on screen to viewers, so viewers can better understand the entire context of their relationship. Be as graphic as you think necessary, yet make sure it is appropriate for a PG-13 audience. Keep the language witty and charming. Remember, this is a feel-good movie. And those are, like I said, it's like a meet-cute type of movie. I think there's even going to be a movie called Meet Cute with Pete Davidson and Kaylee Cuoco, of all peoples. I think it's going to come out soon, or maybe next year. But I heard that they were making a movie called Meet Cute. And but what I was going to say, yes, you can make scenes that are just relevant, whether it's a first kiss, and picture it like a film. And then make a story out of it. I know, like, there's a song by, Lady A, which is Lady Antebellum, but now it's known as Lady A. They have the song called Kiss. And, the way the video starts, you know, these people are in a they're saying goodbye to each other. They met, I think it's somewhere in London. And then it turns out it was just a dream. And they create this whole love story between them, but it makes it sound like they are going to get together. You know, get like some ideas by either watching a video or picturing it in your head and creating a great love story, or how that first time you met your significant other. Like for me, my husband and I have a excuse me. I started coughing. My apologies. I drank the coffee and it went down the wrong pipe. So my apologies. My husband and I have a really meet cute type of story, and people keep telling me to write it. Maybe one day I will. But you know, just picture something that, you know, that can make a romantic comedy. Like, I know Rebel Wilson had Isn't It Romantic? It's hilarious. You can make it as funny or as cute as you want. So let's try to work on that for next week. I'll probably read that at the beginning before I start the new book. So work on the writing class for Wednesday. And this is week 48. And now I'm moving on to the last part, which is Thursday editing. And I'm going to go into week 48 and I'm going to cover editing for all the editors out there. A good story takes readers where they haven't been before, in the company of interesting people they learn to care about, who are forced to deal with adversity. Trying to read here because it's kind of in smaller letters. Peter Rubin, Ruby, how to tell a story. Conflict is the basis of drama. If you don't have a series of scenes with some sort of conflict in them, you don't have a narrative. There are three types of conflict, one of which must be found in your story: man versus man, man versus nature, and man versus himself. Man versus man is easy to identify. Two guys are in a fight, two families disagree, a couple breaks up, a person takes on a corporation or a government. Man versus nature brings to mind survival in the wilderness books and anything that has to do with overcoming obstacles. In this sense, nature is the force to be reckoned with. Okay. Lastly, man versus himself. Conflicts are often the quieter, more introspective books about personal change, coming of age, or dealing with death. There are hundreds of references to work within this book for you to be able to pick out which conflicts were employed. That's a great exercise. A better one is to make sure that you've used conflict in your writing to move your story along. So it's like in any story, like when people ask me, like when I work with books and in my own books, what, you know, the conflict, Sarah and her father Garrison in Closure. They have a dysfunctional family, but it wasn't always like that. It explains what got in the way, the alcoholism. In Chasing Clarity, the young Mia is dealing with grief. And the Diary of a Broken Father, this is a regret by the father, which goes with Closure. It's kind of like a prequel. And his own thoughts about the mistakes he's made and the regret he has. And every story has a conflict. And it's interesting to, you know, for editing, you know, that's what they suggest, that conflict always drives the story, and the changes that you make within those, you know, conflicts are important. So it's important to know. So I hope that helps also for those listening. And then, of course, we have Friday Biography. Anything one man can imagine, other men can make real. You can just check out the different books. They give the recommendation by The Three Musketeers, the book by Alexander Dumas. So go ahead and check out the book by Alexander Dumas, The Three Musketeers. Saturday Books to Read, The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. Go ahead and read that. And I'll discuss that more maybe next week. And then Sunday, The Writing Prompt, If I Were Suddenly Rich. I think that's something that a lot of people think about, especially when you want to win the lotto. You think a lot of what would you do with that money and stuff. So that's an easy one. So I hope you've enjoyed week 48, although some of it I went on briefly, some of it I rambled on. I hope you enjoyed me covering the book by author Amy Peters, 365 inspirational exercises, ideas, tips, and motivations on writing. And I'll be right back to read you a little excerpt of Closure, and I'm going to give you some author news as well for the wrap-up. We'll be right back. Now we're back to the Daily with Silstein Presents the Coffee Chronicles. I'm going to read you a little bit of my book, Closure. I'm going to start on chapter 2 of Closure, of my book, Closure. I'm going to read you a little excerpt of it. I hope you enjoy. And here we go. And this is the Daily with Silstein. This is the wrap-up of the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Chapter 2. In the dark corner of a room, Sarah James waited until the monster fell asleep. Who was the monster? Garrison James, her father. It amazed her how much had changed in the few short months since her mother, Lila, left. It felt as if it happened overnight. At first, he seemed absent. Then the yelling, drinking, and angry glares erupted whenever she entered the same room as him. Soon he began calling her names. When she thought things could not get worse, the real abuse began. He's not my dad, he's a monster. Heavy footsteps tromped towards the room. She gulped in jagged breaths and looked to the ceiling while blinking rapidly. A feeble attempt to control her tears. When hiding from the monster, she would replay what she did wrong and how he caught her the times before. Don't cry, she reminded herself. That's how he finds you. She looked around the once lively home for a sweet reminder of better times. There was a time when the house was surrounded by a beautiful garden. She and her mother would walk hand in hand and choose which flowers to bring inside. Now the windows were closed, and the vase that usually held flowers sat empty. No matter where she looked, there was no sign of happiness or life. The house had become a vessel of sorrow and pain. Mommy, think of her. She closed her eyes and forced images of her favorite memories. A brief smile appeared as thoughts reverted her to one of the many times when her mother taught her how to bake cookies. Oh, Mama, I miss you, she whispered. The memory of her mother distracted Sarah from the harsh reality. However, nearly as quick as the memories arrived, they dissipated. Before she knew it, the monster began lashing out. Sarah, where are you? He screamed. Realizing she had made noise, Sarah covered her mouth and began internally praying. Oh, Lord, help me. Where are you? The monster demanded as he stormed towards the back of the house. She looked up at the ceiling and whispered, what does he want now? She knew he was drunk. Usually by this time of day, he would be asleep, but his current drunken rage lasted much longer than the other nights. Please, Lord, make him go to sleep, she begged. What was that? The monster bellowed. She brought her index finger to her lips and made a shushing sound. She feared the monster, honing in on the sound of her prayer. A sigh escaped her when he stormed past the room and into the kitchen. Her stomach roared to life. When was the last time I ate? She wondered. For months, Sarah was constantly exhausted and hungry. When the monster moved towards the dining room, she decided to try to sneak into the kitchen. Just as she neared the threshold, she heard his footsteps and quickly reverted to her safe hiding place. Sarah, come here this second, he ordered in anger. She knew that tone all too well. If he got a hold of her, pain would soon follow. Immediately, her heart began to race as her small body convulsed. Her mind screamed, not again. The last time her body shook uncontrollably, she was hiding in the closet. The monster heard her praying. And that's where we'll leave it. So this is a part of closure. And this is about a father and daughter who have dealt with the loss of the mother and what it did to the father and the journey that they go through. And Sarah especially goes through this journey. I started this story back in, I've spoken about it before, but back in SNHU, Southern New Hampshire University, I started in 2012, and I graduated in 2015, and I think I started this in 2013 and published it in 2014. Started as a short story, then I made it into a full novella on the advice of a friend, also editor. She advised me to make it into a novella, which I did, and this was my first solo book. I had worked on anthologies, but this was my first novella. And I do have Chasing Clarity, The Diary of a Broken Father, and currently working on Battered Mind. But and I'm very, very grateful for each of them. But now what I'm trying to do is set them all up through Ingram Spark. Going to put them through there so they can be offered, and they do offer them in bookstores, but you have to order them. Here they would be physically in the brick mortar stores. They offer more options, so I'm going to be doing that this summer. Hopefully they'll be there by August, if not no later than September. And then I'm also trying to finish up Battered Mind so I can get that sent over to the editor. I did send a draft, but I'm working on changes to it, and then try to get that published as well. All the covers for the three novellas I currently have, Closure, Chasing Clarity, and The Diary of a Broken Father, were done by the amazing Natasha Brown. And shout out to her. And my current cover for Battered Mind is by the amazing artist, tattoo artist, and amazing just artist overall, Michael Dangerman, which is my husband's cousin, but he's just amazing. Michael, shout out to you and your amazing work. And of course, a big shout out to your beautiful family, Elena, and also Sophia. God bless, and all the family. And shout out to you, Michael. And I think he's going to be in the Michigan Comic Con coming up. I think so. His wife, Alana, said that he would be in there. So big shout out to him and his family. And Natasha Brown, wishing you all the best in your move and everything. And thank you for the amazing cover. She's very talented as well. And I wanted to just let you know that I'm in this wrap up, that I'm working on these books, wrap up for this show right now. And I'm working on a newsletter that's going to be out probably in August. The first newsletter for the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. I want to send a big shout out to my amazing PAs, Samantha Socorso and Tara James. And I hope that that you guys check out the this podcast and check out the books I've recommended, and share wherever you can. And I hope, if you want a big shout out, let me know so I can send a big shout out to you as well. Excuse me. And I also wanted to say that if you want to support the podcast, you can. It gives you an option there. I think it's 99 cents that you can support the podcast. I'll be very, very grateful of whatever you can do. But I wanted to say thank you for listening, tuning in to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. There'll be a new jingle and new stuff happening on this podcast. And as you know, it's through Anchor FM, but it's available in other platforms. Please check them out. And thank you again. Happy Thursday. Enjoy your coffee. Enjoy your day. Have an amazing one. And we'll be back tomorrow with more of a show. Have a good one. Thank you again.